So I'd like to share a few reflections and give a short talk or exploration that might help us dive into this thing called retreat, whatever it is. We're still in the arrival mode, and arrival mode has its nature underneath of going from somewhere to somewhere better. And if you think about it, our whole life is busy with that. Our whole life, we get up in the morning doing things so that something will happen that we want. We are always going somewhere else. We're always going in time from here to there, from this present to the future. We're always moving to try and get something done, achieved, changed. And the retreat is in the opposite place. So it's worth really playing with that paradox. There's a paradox here. That we arrive here trying to get somewhere better in order to stop. In order to stop having something better. Retreat is about stopping. So it's just worthwhile just paying a little attention to that. I love John Lennon's song, Watching the Wheels. It's just, going to the Beatles in the 60s. I was seeing them in London and so on, but I totally forgot about this song, and I only remembered it and looked at the words like a year ago, and it was so lovely, Watching the Wheels. They think I'm a failure, they say I'm no good, they say I'm not part of the rat race, and all I want to do is watch the wheels going round. All I want to do is watch the shadows on the wall. It's just beautiful, and they think I'm screwed up. And it's a beautiful song. And it sort of reminds us that we can't help being in the stream of life which feels very constructed, very built, and very much going from all the time, this to that, A to B, time to the future, this place to that place. If we look very carefully, we are always arriving, and there's no other place we can be except where we are. And we only live now, and then we forget it. And this beautiful phrase from T.S. Eliot says that however much we search and we explore, we always arrive back where we started. But we know the place for the first time. We always arrive back home and know the place for the first time. And I think that's inspiration for us in the retreat. So liberation, freedom, can be in no other place other than here. It cannot be somewhere else. And here means in the heart of our experience, in this essence, in the center of our experience, there is no other place except here, and this is what's happening. And there can't be any other place for liberation, if you think about it. Otherwise, we're always looking again for something else, somewhere else, Mashiach, the beyond, the the better, and so on, and then we're still in samsara, in the wheel. So what we're doing here in a retreat is stopping and kind of diving into this only place that we can be, called the basis, the center of my experience right now. And we dive into that. And if we do it deeply, we are diving into the ocean. It's an ocean. And the response to diving into that ocean is pliya, is wonder. Especially if, because we mostly ignore it and we're running somewhere else. As soon as we really stop and we really dive into it, things open up. We sometimes forget that because the Dharma is always telling us to be non-attached. Let go, let go, let this go, let go what's troubling us, let go this samsaric life of struggle and pressure and so on, let go. But it doesn't so easily tell us what we see when we let go. And one of the places is the more we let go, the more we feel pliya, the wonder of this moment really lived. It's a miracle. Really lived this real life now. So what I want to talk about is a little bit to discuss some of the paradoxes, the opposites and the subtle places that can help us understand as we go into the retreat some fine lines here. One of the fine lines is we have a structure called a retreat. And it feels like, in one sense, we're going from the structure of life to a structure of retreat. So there's a system, and we get a nice talk from Sharon and Itai about how to keep this structure, and you have encouragement and so on. But is there a structure? We talk about practice, we talk about a path, we talk about a journey. Even in my phrase, take refuge in the Dharma, I talked about the Dharma as journey. So there feels like a place to go. And there is guidance, and there is instructions, and you'll get plenty of instructions, I hope. I don't know. I mean, if we just... Ilan and myself sat total silence for 1 week, not a word. You begin to get pretty restless. Well, what's going on? Where's the Seidan Aderech? Where's the stuff? It's guidance, it's help, it's a path, it's a structure, and that feels a little bit like we're building something else. So what about what I've just been saying? The pliya of nowhere to go. So it's one of the places of interest in our practice that is full of nigudim, of paradoxes, of things that don't make sense to the ordinary mind. And that's one of the nice things about coming here and doing a retreat. We can leave the ordinary mind behind. The ordinary mind that wants things to be clear and logical and linear and the sibatiyut. If I do this, then I'll experience this. If I do my practice right, I will experience calmness. Who says? So it's a nice thing, I think, if we look, and I'm only telling you this because I know all of you have been in practice before. If I give this talk to new people in the Dharma, they just look at me as if, what the hell's he saying? But so there is a structure, there is a path, there is apparently a way to go, there is guidance, but this is also illusion. Because there is also nowhere to go, and there is also no path. And we also need to be playful with our practice. And we receive guidance, but we be playful, like a child, exploring things. There isn't a right way that the teacher's going to tell you, this is the right way, the Buddha said it. The Buddha himself gave 10,000 different practices for 10,000 different people. So we can find our way between the in this dialogue between there's somewhere to go and there's nowhere to go. There is something to be done and there's nothing to be done. There is a path and there is no path. There, the Buddha said it. Take the whole Dharma, and when you've gone to the other side, throw the whole lot away. The whole teaching. He called it a rapsoda, a raft. When you've gone to the other shore, let go the raft. It's crazy if you use the raft to get to the other shore, to cross the river, and then you carry it on your shoulder. I might come to another river later on. Maybe I need this. You've gone to the other side, you let it go. So all I'm saying is the paradox, the paradox is not going to be solved. I'm not giving an answer to this paradox. I'm inviting the paradox to take us deeper. There's somewhere to go, but there is nowhere to go that we weren't there already. Take it deeper. Let it be for us a kind of guide into a deeper place. Another paradox is about freedom as something to get. And we do imagine that freedom is somewhere, and it's something to get. And the teachings is full, of course, of transformation, of going beyond, in the Heart Sutta, which is a really Mahayana sutta, which talks just about the paradox that we're talking about here. But at the end, what's the Heart Sutta mantra? Gata, gata, paragata, parasamgata. Beyond, beyond, go beyond, go beyond. So, how do I go beyond? If I'm already here, so where's beyond? And I just love these things that don't make sense. They just invite us. So we have but it is very practical for us, because we may have an image. I'm in this retreat because I want to be more calm. I'm in this retreat because I want clarity. I want more freedom. I want to understand things more. I'm struggling in my life. I have all kinds of difficulties in my personal life, in my corona experiences, in the society, in my work. I want clarity. I want to sort it out. I want to be a bit more free. So it's fine. There's no problem with that. There's no problem. We can be there with it. But also we can understand that the opposite is also true. That if we really want to change, then the best way is to kind of just see that we're already there. We're already okay. We are where we are. Real joy is in not needing to be joyful. Real happiness is not needing to be happy. Lo chaser shum davar. So playing with this, and it's all in the moment, in this breath, that's where we experience the play of these paradoxes, of these fine lines. So when you feel, I want to be more calm, my meditation or my walking is disturbed, it's fine to be more calm, but to know that that's what's happening and that there is a place underneath that is just fine where it is. And you can handle both, hold both. It's fine to be not calm, and it's fine to go towards calmness, and holding both without trying to sort it out. A very familiar one is the issue of effort, and it's also good for me to mention this at the beginning of the retreat. So if we come with a lot of effort, then that implies a lot of resistance. But if we come with no effort, we're just hanging around. Okay, I don't have a telephone. I'm managing. But no effort at all, and we might find that we're not sure why we're here, and nothing really happens. So again, a fine line. We carry both together. There is an effort. There is a reason to make an effort, and there is a reason to make no effort. And it's a nice kind of movement to understand these paradoxes. When someone said to the Buddha, how do you cross the flood, meaning the flood of samsara, the flood of our ordinary life, he said, by not struggling and not stopping. And the question is, well, what do you mean by that? So the Buddha said, well, when I struggled, I got swept away. And when I stopped, I got sunk. I sunk down. So I didn't struggle and I didn't stop. So it's between this and between that. To be serious about the practice, the Buddha said, bend your mind, l'chaven et ha-toda'a, bend your mind to liberation. He didn't say grasp liberation with all your teeth and try and get it. He just said, bend your mind, much softer. Keep going in that direction. And in this retreat, we may find at times that energy is like a bird on the wind, nets, a hawk on the wind. And at times, our energy may be, yes, I need to do a few things to walk up the hill. I need a bit of effort now. It's fine. We start our practice with the body. And the body is basically the most available place to explore some of these things. The body is the immediate window to wisdom and liberation. It's right there with us. Our bodily life is never in the future or the past. It invites us to be right there in the now. So we start with the body. But always regarding the body as a kind of a window to see deeper reality. It's always showing us things. The body is full of windows, full of voices, full of messages. It's a kind of world of eros, of subtle sensations, of dialogue, of expression of its life. It's where we meet our life. And so the body is really a place to discover so many things, discover healing, discover calmness, discover not calmness, isheket, discover love, discover life, discover the unknown, what is not seen, what is not visible. I was in Tel Aviv Hamashi Shishi. And on the way back, my friend Israel found a book, which was The Little Prince, in Hebrew and Arabic. One page Hebrew, one page Arabic. And he was really so excited to see The Little Prince with one page Hebrew, one page Arabic. But there was one title of which he mentioned to me in the car. The Little Prince said, the most important things in life are invisible. Bilti nireh. And here we can experience that in the body. We can experience kindness. We can experience intimacy. We can experience wisdom. We can see the beyond, the limited and the unlimited. We can trust things. We can learn trust. Trust to be that things are the way they are. So all of that is in the realm of awareness. And we keep opening awareness, and the paradoxes, the fine lines are the, in a way, the dance that we dance in this retreat between the known and the unknown. So let's just have 15-20 minutes of silence now.